Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gretsch, and today we are talking about some Marvel news. We got some Marvel news to talk about, but the main thing that we're talking about, that I'm going to be talking about here today, is the series premiere, episode one of She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. It's going to be a full spoiler review, so if you've not seen the episode starting the first part of the show is going to be news. It's not going to be any spoilers for the premiere. But, you know, I'll make the spoiler warning very clear later on in the show. Later on in the show when I actually do talk about She-Hulk. So, but I mean, most of the news this week is about She-Hulk. You know, because I mean, it's a new show that came out today on Disney Plus. So, first thing, there's been a lot of online discussion about how this show is going to treat Daredevil. I mean, I'm just going to say this right now. I mean, I don't know if it's a spoiler to say who's not in the first episode, but like I speculated, Daredevil was not in the first episode of She-Hulk. All right, I'm sorry if that spoils something for you, knowing that the character is not in the episode. But he's not in episode one. And there's been a lot of online discourse about this being a, quote, lighthearted and fun version of Daredevil in this show. So I'm just going to pull up the original quote when it was first mentioned that he's going to be a more lighthearted version of himself. So, I have the article pulled up here from The Direct. This is from, I believe this is from Friday. Yeah, it's from August 12th. So, it's an exclusive for The Direct. They were talking with Jessica Gao, who's the showrunner for the series. And basically what she says is there's a lighter side of the character here. So, the direct quote, which I'm going to read now. Quote, and it was so fun to be able to do, and we do this with every character cameo from the MCU, is we take them from the environment that you know them from, which is a much more dramatic and action-oriented role, much more on the serious side. And we bring them into our world, and they get to play in the tone of She-Hulk, and they got to explore, and we get to see a lighter side of that character. So, end quote, I guess. What this is saying, what Jessica Gao is saying here is just, you know, this show is a comedy. This is a comedy show. And I'll talk more about the actual comedy aspects of the first episode when I actually review the premiere later on. But this is a comedy show. We are going to see lighthearted versions of all these characters. I mean, in the first episode, we see, I mean, a much more lighthearted version of the Hulk that I personally feel is more consistent with his character from, like, prior to Endgame, you know? He's not, like, dabbing in diners, I guess. But, you know, that's a consistent version of the character. It's just, you know, he's more lighthearted in the episode. So, it's just stuff like that. Like, I don't think we're gonna see Deadpool making a bunch of witty quips. Like, I didn't see that one coming. Like, I don't think we're going to see that. I don't think we're going to see that at all. People forget that the MCU has gone dark in some places. Stuff like the Winter Soldier. What really comes to mind is the opening of the Black Widow movie. I don't know if I would say this is dark, but more like real world, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, with how that series approached the atrocities of racism in the military and just like in everyday life. You know, it seems like what we had in the bank. And you know, having a Daredevil that is more lighthearted here than he was in the Netflix series, I think depends on how lighthearted are you going and what do you mean by lighthearted. Because, I mean, his scene in Spider-Man No Way Home, it was a funny scene, right? You know, he caught the brick and goes, "I'm really good lawyer." Like, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and not just because it had Daredevil in it, right? So I think we are going to see a lighter version of the character here. We are going to see a lighter version of Daredevil in this series, and that will be the same version of the character that we see in Echo and that we see in Daredevil Born Again, but that does not necessarily mean that he's going to be lighthearted in those shows, right? And I mean, you can go back and rewatch Daredevil, which is now streaming on Netflix, and even in The Defenders, like, he's pretty funny. He's a funny dude. Like, I think that one of the best scenes in the entire Netflix MCU was the scene where all four defenders come together for the first time in the Chinese restaurant. I love that scene. And you have that great moment there where you have Danny Rand, and he says something like, "Is that pork?" And then Matt just goes, no, that's steak. But that guy's got pork. Like, I think something like that is more along the lines of what we're going to see in She-Hulk, right? In terms of the writing for Matt Murdock. So there's actually another article from a few days ago that I'm getting here from comicbook.com saying that Daredevil is going to be is a very planned and conscious character here. And this is coming from, who said this? So this is coming from Kat Coiro, who directed the first episode, and she's directing several more. But what she says is, "I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but it's very conscious and it's very much planned." That's all I can say. And then Jessica Gao, the showrunner, elaborated on that, saying, "We were like, this is our version. And it's true for any character. Like every character that we've used that existed in the MCU, it gets to be a little bit different on our show because you see them in very dramatic roles, like these big, high-pressure, high-stakes kind of situations. But on our show, because our show is more of a slice of life, they can kind of take a break from that." Gao continues saying, "They get to take a bit of a comedy vacation. Of course, after our show, they get to go back to save the world, save the universe, very serious, intense story. But on our show, they get to just take a little break. And when the universe is not at stake, like, so what's going on with you?" They get a chance to really explore, like, a different part of their character, because not everyone can be at a 10 saving the world every minute of every day. And that's just a great way to put it. I think that is a fantastic way to put it. And already, I mean, again, I'm not going to get in spoilers right now, but that's very much what we're seeing in the first episode. Like, this show seems like it's just when we see new characters and cameos pop in, it seems like it's going to be, you know, just here's what Daredevil's doing today, right? Here's what Wong is doing on an average day. Yeah, because with a movie, it's like, okay, you have to, like, fill in this runtime, and it needs to be about 2 hours long. And so you need to, like, have everything compressed, and you don't really have any space to breathe. And I feel like it's also the same with a 6-episode show, because you only have 6 episodes. You need to, it needs to be more rushed. And that's, you know, been a downfall of several of the Disney Plus series. But when you have a show like this, which is 9 episodes, and it's a comedy. It is a comedy. Remember that it's a comedy series. It's, you can have some more flexibility with it. Like, I'm not expecting a huge CGI showdown at the end of this. I know we're probably going to get it, but I mean, I think with the show like this, it's totally fine if we don't, you know? I felt like the finale of Ms. Marvel was really, it was very small scale compared to the other finales, right? And most of the visual effects there were just coming from showing Kamala's powers and Kamran's powers. So, yeah, stuff like this with Daredevil and all these cameos, I'm really just excited to see how they bring in Matt Murdock. And I'm really hoping that we see him sooner rather than later, because some of the reviews I've been reading are kind of ambiguous as to whether or not he appears in the first four episodes, because all the reviews that we've seen are from people who've seen the first four episodes. That's what Disney sent out to the press, was four episodes. And, you know, I've seen some stuff sort of like allude to the fact that we have seen Daredevil already in these four episodes, and others like saying, I'm a bit worried for how Daredevil's going to show up. But worried for that. So, I mean, maybe what it is, I mean, because, again, I think it's going to be a cliffhanger type thing. I think it's going to be a cliffhanger type thing where we're going to see sort of that shot of him like flipping over Jen's car. And we're going to see his face, and we're going to cut, and that's going to be it. And we're going to have to wait like another week. So that's what I'm thinking is probably going to happen. So maybe like that cliffhanger is in episode 4 and we'll see him in episode 5. This is my theory for right now. So on to the next thing. I realized I did not talk about any of the Marvel Studios animation news coming out of San Diego Comic Con. I talked about all the live action stuff, and then after I posted the show last week, I realized, oh, I didn't talk about What If, or Spider-Man Freshman Year, or Marvel Zombies. So I'm going to take a couple of minutes right now and just run through the announcements that we got for these other properties. Which, you know, again, Kevin Feige left off the Phase slate. When he showed the Phase 4 slate at Comic-Con, there were a few things that changed from the last Comic-Con, which was 3 years ago. There were some new additions to it, like Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Spider-Man No Way Home, and Black Panther Wakanda Forever. But there was one thing that was removed, and that was What If. And, I mean, Marvel Studios Animation got its own panel at Comic-Con that was separate from the main Marvel Studios panel. So I'm just gonna start off talking about what we learned regarding What If. So basically, I mean, the main thing was they did screen the first episode of the season for people in attendance. I believe the episode is called What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Sombra. So it's kind of picking up that thread from where we left off after the season 1 finale with that post-credit scene. So it seems like this is going to be like a Winter Soldier type thing. Where we're going to see like a Winter Soldier-ized like skinny Steve Rogers in the Hydra Stomper suit. Armor, and then he's going to fight Captain Carter in like 2014. You know, I think that could be super cool. Super, super cool. So the release date for What If has been pushed. It wasn't going to come out this year. It's coming out in early 2023. And there, we do actually know what, a few episodes that are going to be in the season. They include, where is it? Here it is. All right, so What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper? What If Iron Man Traveled to Sakaar? Which was supposed to be in season 1. Season 1 was supposed to be 10 episodes. It was moved to 9 because there was an episode that just would not be completed by the release date that they needed to have. So remember when we saw Gamora in the season one finale, it was like, wait, what? Like, we didn't see that adventure. We're going to be seeing that in season two. So, yeah, that's one thing that's going to be in season two. You got the Captain Card episode for season two. Three other episodes. What if the Soviets built the arc reactor? And then we have two episodes that relate to phase four. What if Wanda used to watch musicals? So we get like a WandaVision type thing, but instead of sitcoms, it's musicals. And then what if, I believe from some of the reactions I saw on Twitter, is like, what if Odin fought the Mandarin? Which is like, sold. That sounds awesome. Like, anything that's like Shang-Chi related, I'm all in for. I'm all in for that. Speaking of Shang-Chi, we got some updates on Marvel Zombies. So, Marvel Zombies is coming out sometime in 2024. So, we still have... So, it's still a ways off. Still a ways off until we get that show. It's picking up after the events of episode 105 of She-Hulk. And then... Oh, no, not of She-Hulk, of What If. It's picking up after the Zombies episode of What If. And we're actually going to see a really cool... we're going to see a really cool team in this... In the series. So the team that we're going to be seeing includes, you know, Shang-Chi, Yelena, who else? Kamala Khan, Red Guardian, Katie, Kate Bishop, Jimmy Woo, and Death Dealer are all going to be banding together, which is going to be awesome to see. We're going to be seeing some Skrulls, which can be super cool. Super cool to see some Skrulls. And then some of the zombies are going to be facing off against. We got zombified versions of Scarlet Witch, Ghost, Hawkeye, Okoye, Abomination, Captain America, Captain Marvel, and Icarus. So there we go. We're going to get some Eternals callouts, which I always love to see. But the big thing, that made me like, actually kind of like lose my mind a little bit was, this show's going to be rated TVMA. This is an animated series on Disney Plus that's going to be rated TVMA. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. There's no way that it's not good. There is no way that it's just not going to be superb. And if it's not great, I'm going to riot. So, yeah, that's Marvel Zombies coming out in 2024. So, still a ways off, but I'm hoping it's going to be well worth the wait. Plus, we have so many other Marvel shows on Disney Plus coming soon. Like X-Men 97. So, X-Men 97 is coming out next year, fall 2023, so a little bit over a year from now. And it's also been confirmed that they're already working on season two. So something I like to see from some of these animated series, you know, what if, oh, another thing, What If was also renewed for season three at Comic-Con. So, you know, what if we have at least two more seasons of that coming, of a season next year and probably a season in 2024. We're getting two seasons of X-Men 97. And then another thing I'm going to talk about later on is probably freshman year. So, yeah, so this show, X-Men 97, coming to Disney Plus next year, the series will include Rogue, Beast, Gambit, Jean Grey, Wolverine, Storm, Jubilee, and Cyclops. Magneto, now with long hair and purple suit, will lead the X-Men. Now, I have a confession. I've never seen X-Men the Animated Series. And I may or may not watch it, honestly, before the show comes out. Because this show is not part of the MCU. And look, there's no hate. That's no hate to anyone who loves this show, I know for a lot of people, you know, this is what made them fall in love with Marvel, was this X-Men series. For me, for Star Wars, that was the Clone Wars. There are people out there who hate the Clone Wars. So, I don't hate this show. I mean, I've never seen it. I've just never seen it. And I may go and check it out, and the original series as well. But we'll see what happens when the time comes. This show is over a year away. But yeah, so it's coming out next year. We'll probably talk more about it as it gets closer and we inch towards that fall 2023 release date. The big one I want to talk about. I guess there's one other thing first. They also announced that there are 5 more I Am Groot shorts that are coming out at a later point in time. You guys know, if you listened to the show last week, I absolutely loved I absolutely loved I Am Groot. I thought those 5 shorts were absolutely delightful. They were adorable. I love them to bits. I thought they were great. So the last one, and if I'm being honest, the only that's not true. Another one of the shows that intrigues me a whole lot is Spider-Man Freshman Year. We know this show is coming out in 2024 on Disney Plus. A second season is in development, titled Spider-Man Sophomore Year. So you know, this could be a show that we see continue through, we get 4 seasons of this. We get Spider-Man Junior Year and Spider-Man Senior Year. I think that could be great. And I do think it's funny that the show is coming out in 2024 when I will be graduating high school and then moving on to college. So, yeah, the kids going in at that point, right as I'm leaving, they'll get to go through high school with a new animated Spider-Man. Now, the big thing that makes me excited for the show is Charlie Cox is going to be in it, voicing Daredevil. So there's just so much Daredevil going on right now. You know, he just popped up in No Way Home. We're going to see him in the next few weeks here on She-Hulk. He's going to be a big part of the Echo series that's coming out in the summer. It's coming out next summer. And then in 2024, he's getting, an 18-episode season on Disney Plus of Daredevil Born Again. And he'll be probably in a couple episodes of Spider-Man Freshman Year. That's super exciting. It's super, super exciting. Now, with this show, Freshman Year, I have a feeling this show is not going to be canon to the MCU. I don't think the show is going to be canon. Here's why. I mean, for starters, there's Norman Osborn, and it's kind of implied in No Way Home that there is no Norman Osborn in the series, or in the MCU. And just some of the stuff that we've heard makes it really hard to fit in with the Spider-Man that we knew of his time before the events of Captain America Civil War. Some of his friends that we're going to be seeing in this show, they show some images. And by the way, the animation design that they're using, I love it. It's very similar to the original Spider-Man comics of the 60s. So we're going to be getting Nico Minoru from Runaways. I wonder if they're going to bring back the girl who voiced her in the Runaway series that was on Hulu and now it's on Disney Plus. By the way, that was a fun little show they did, Runaways. I thought that was quite a good watch. I'll review it eventually. I will review that show eventually. So we're going to get Nico in it, Lonnie Lincoln, Amadeus Cho, Harry Osborn, several others. So here's what I think happened with this show. I think this show was pitched as an episode of What If. was that there was a what if episode they wanted to do. What if Norman Osborn was the mentor to Peter Parker, and it wasn't Tony Stark? Because, I mean, they said in the panel that Norman Osborn kind of takes that position of being Peter Parker's mentor that we saw Tony Stark do. So I'm feeling that's how it started, and they just wanted to continue with it. Like, they had several ideas for how it could continue so many that they're just like, you can just have your own show then. And it's what I'm thinking is probably going to happen. So this is set probably in a multiverse world that's adjacent to the MCU, which does leave the door open for maybe, I mean, depending on when it comes out in 2024, like if it's like January 2024, that's before Spider-Verse 3 comes out. I'm just saying, I don't think that we're going to see anything from this show tie in with Spider-Verse 3. I mean, not just the fact that that movie was written long before the show was announced. Because they did Spider-Verse 2 and 3 back-to-back at the same time. We're getting a cross Spider-Verse in June, and then we're getting Beyond Spider-Verse, something like 8 months later in March. Or I guess 9 months later in March of 2024. So that's really what they decided to do for those movies. So I don't think we're going to be seeing anything from this show impact Spider-Verse 3. Also, I mean, just because they're different studios. Like, this is Disney. This is Disney, not Sony. And by the way, there is some stuff going around about, like, Marvel didn't let them use Spider-Man and She-Hulk. That's not true. Spider-Man legally, contractually, is unable to appear in She-Hulk. Because, and I'm not sure if I've talked about this before on the podcast, but the way that the Spider-Man deal works with television, if Spider-Man is going to appear in a live-action episode, it's Sony. Disney, that's why Disney couldn't put Spider-Man in Falcon and Winter Soldier. That's why they couldn't put him in Hawkeye. That's why they couldn't put him in She-Hulk. Is just because it would be a live-action episode, so you can't put him in there. With animated episodes, Spider-Man can appear in Disney animated series if the episode he appears in is shorter than 45 minutes. So if the episode is shorter than 45 minutes, then Disney can do it. If the episode is longer than 45 minutes, that's Sony. So the deal for television is kind of confusing. Really, like, if he's going to appear in a live-action series, it has to be Sony. If he's going to appear in a Disney animated series, the episode has to be less than 45 minutes. So that's just how that deal works. There will not be an episode of the show that's longer than 45 minutes. Just because Disney legally cannot do that. Which I don't think is going to be a big problem for animated series. That's really it for these animated series from Marvel Studios that were announced at Comic-Con. A lot of stuff to be looking forward to. Podcast-wise, yeah, we'll cover some of these. I'm sure, like, with What If, like, it depends on what else is going on at the time. Like, if What If comes out in January, and there's really, like, nothing else that is coming out, because, I mean, the next Marvel series after She-Hulk, it's live action, is Secret Invasion. That's going to be in the spring, so that's, like, March or April. Which, by the way, we're going to be getting Secret Invasion in the spring, and then we'll be getting Echo in early summer, and then Loki season 2 is going to be like mid to late summer. So like we're going to be getting like Secret Invasion, Echo, and Loki back to back, which I think is going to be awesome. I think it's going to be great. If What If's come out in January, you know, what is coming out in January for Marvel? Because I know the next MCU movie is in February. I mean, after Black Panther, of course. I think it's Ant-Man. Is that Ant-Man? Yeah, it's Ant-Man. It comes out February 17th. Oh, but we have a Sony movie coming out in January. We got Kraven. Yeah, Kraven's like 5 months away. We are getting like real, real close to Kraven here. I'm sure they're going to be dropping a trailer pretty soon because I believe Kraven is done shooting. Is that right? Let me just check right here. I believe that Kraven, I guess, is still shooting. It says in production on IMDb. But what does the Wikipedia say? Sony Spider-Man Universe. Yeah, this is what I do when I'm... Sometimes I just don't click the pause button. So I want to give you guys a chance to really be a part of the show. Yeah, Kraven's still filming. So I wonder if Kraven's going to be pushed back a bit. Because then they... So in terms of other live-action movies they have. So right now, Sony's got 4 movies in various stages of production that are completely confirmed. So we have Kraven coming out January 13th of next year, and then Madam Web's coming out October 6th of next year, and both of those are still filming. But I have to imagine, like, either like they haven't announced that filming's done on Kraven, or like Kraven's gonna wrap in the next few days, just because like the movie's is coming out so soon. Or, you know, maybe it's just not very effects heavy. I think that's possible. Like, Kraven's just not all that effects heavy. So you don't have to have a ton of post-production work on it like they had to do with Venom and with Morbius. Yeah, so those are two for next year that we're getting. Oh, and then, of course, Spider-Verse, but that's animation. As much as I love the first movie, it's not part of the Sony Spider-Man universe. And then El Muerto is out January 12th, 2024. And then we have Venom 3, which is undated. Which I'm hoping is coming out, like, in 2024. Because I really, really enjoyed the first Venom. I think the second one, it was kind of some of that No Way Home hype that, like, made me enjoy it more. Especially that post-credits scene. That post-credit scene that we saw in Venom 2 was fantastic. You know, that just... So much hype there for Spider-Man was from that post-credit scene. What other films they have in development? They have... I think that's really it. I'm sure they have some sort of Sinister Six film in development. Because who do they have set up for the Sinister Six right now? We have Venom set up. We have Morbius set up. We have... the Vulture set up. You know, a couple of guys like us should team up. We're about to have the Kraven set up. And then... I'm not sure. Is Madame Web considered to be a villain? Is she considered to be a villain? I know that she has, like, villainous qualities, but... I need to do some more research on the Madam Web character. But I just really think that we need, like, a Spider-Man in this universe. In the Sonyverse. Like, who's the Spider-Man? Like, there are rumors and theories out there that it's Andrew Garfield, which I'd love to see that happen. But, honestly, I don't think we're going to be seeing Andrew Garfield come back for a while. I think that we're not going to see Toby or Andrew again. Probably until Secret Wars. Because I think that'd be a great way to bring them back in. You know? They kind of got their swan songs. Well, Toby kind of got his swan song in Spider-Man 3. I feel like Spider-Man 3 was a great, like, ending point for that story. And then Andrew got cut off at the knees with only 2 movies. And he didn't get a third. So, people just want TASM 3 now. I would... be interested in a TASM 3, but I think if they were to do a Spider-Man movie right now, I think I'm more interested in them continuing the Tom Holland series, because I think that the setup at the end of No Way Home, I think Spider-Man 4, Tom Spider-Man 4, not Toby Spider-Man 4, I think that a fourth Spider-Man film with Tom Holland in it could really, like, be a top-tier Spider-Man movie if you got the right director behind it. And I think John Watts... I think John Watts as a director... Like, look, No Way Home and Homecoming are my first and second favorite MCU movies. That, like, No Way Home is my number one and Homecoming is my number two. I adore those movies. So, clearly, like, I'm not, like, a John Watts hater. But I don't necessarily feel like John Watts has, like, a distinct, like, creative style. Like, comparing it to, like, comparing No Way Home in terms of, like, the actual quality of the filmmaking to other Phase 4 films, like Eternals and Doctor Strange and Thor, which, by the way, I saw Thor again the other day, and I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than I did the first time. So I'm doing a full, like, 2-hour spoiler show for Thor, Love and Thunder, once it comes out on Disney Plus, which I think is probably going to be on Disney Plus Day, because they have not yet announced a Disney Plus release date for it. Have they? I mean, maybe they just announced it. Let's just see. Let's just see if they just announced the Thor 4. I just want to watch it on Disney Plus. Like, honestly. Looks like they've not announced it yet. Anyway. You know, I feel like Chloe Zhao, Sam Raimi, Taika Waititi have distinct, like, visual and creative styles. Where, honestly, I feel like No Way Home is more, like, traditional MCU. Which isn't a problem. I think, like, the MCU, that formula, it's worked. We're 29 movies in. We're on the 29 movies, and She-Hulk is the 7th show on Disney Plus. This franchise has been going for, you know, we're coming up on 15 years. Come May of 2023, it'll be 15 years of the MCU. So clearly they're doing something right, but I think that John Watts, I think that him doing Spider-Man 4, could be really, really great. Like, doing something different with the character than we've really ever seen before. You know, him being more down to earth. And I think it would be great if we got to see him team up with Daredevil. I think that could be really great if we got to see him team up with Daredevil. So, yeah. I think, you know, I'm just excited. I'm just excited for the future of Sony and Disney. I think that both are set up well, you know, with the Venom movies. Not particularly Morbius. Not really with Morbius. But you know what? I think that with Morbius, it all comes down to the script. That script was just horrendous. And it was just a bad movie. Just a bad movie. Okay. So now I'm going to get into the spoiler. Well, not spoilers, but now we're going to move on. And talk a little bit about... Well, talk a lot about the first episode of She-Hulk. So, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Season 1, Episode 1, A Normal Amount of Rage, was released on Disney Plus on Thursday, August 18th, 2022, and has a runtime of 37 minutes. The episode was directed by Kat Coiro and was written by Jessica Gao. Jenna Walters' world is turned upside down after a freak accident leaves her with superpowers. So, non-spoiler first. You know, I think that Marvel this year with the Disney Plus shows, Moon Knight and Ms. Marvel, have really, like, hit it out of the park. Like, I think that both of those shows were great. And I liked Doctor Strange and I liked Thor, but I didn't love either of those movies. So I think that, you know, I just really want to know, this is the last Marvel Disney Plus show that we're getting this year. Because Secret Invasion was pushed back to next year. So this is the last one that we get this year. Let's go 3 for 3 with three awesome shows. And I gotta say, in terms of the series premiere, in terms of episode one, I think this is the weakest first episode of these three shows we've gotten this year. That being said, I absolutely adored the premiere of Moon Knight. I absolutely adored the premiere of Ms. Marvel. So that's, you know, that's what I had to live up to for me. And it didn't live up to that, but you know what? I still thought that this series premiere was great. I thought that this show is starting off on the right foot. It has the setup there. It answered all the questions that I needed this show to answer in the first 5 minutes. And honestly, it was only two questions. It was only two questions that I went into this show. I'm like, all right, I need this first episode to tell me what the show's about, give me an idea of the tone for the series, what are the jokes gonna be like. And then in terms of the wider MCU, there are two questions that I had, which were, how is Bruce in his human form in Shang-Chi? Like, how does that work? And then also, of course, how does Jen Walters get her powers? So both of those things were answered, and I just thought that this show was, for the most part, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. There were, you know, a couple of moments of real world, like, I guess, weight that they had. And, you know, should I talk about that now? All right, I'll talk about those scenes now. So I'm getting to spoilers for the first episode of She-Hulk. So if you've not seen the first episode of She-Hulk, stop listening. Go watch it. Come back later. So the scene that I'm talking about is, of course, the scene. Well, really, it's two scenes. But really, it's a scene where Jen and Bruce are meditating, and Jen just says, you know, Jen's talking about her controlling her anger. And, you know, you get the sense that, like, she is already, like, so much better at controlling her anger than Bruce ever was, because she, you know, she has to control it when she's being catcalled in the street. She has to control it when, I forgot what word she used, but did she use incompetent? But when incompetent men tell her how to do her own job in her own area of expertise. And that scene, like, I've had, like, my mother's had conversations with me about stuff like that, right? About her own experiences with work and stuff. But she hasn't started to have those conversations yet with my 13-year-old brother. So watching his reaction to that at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, this morning, because we sit up for this premiere. You know, my brother and I, we always stay up for at least the series premiere. Like, maybe not every episode, but we always stay up and watch the series premiere as soon as it drops. And it was really impactful. And he couldn't be on the show, but I want to get, you know, my brother on these episodes, just because you know, that's his first time really hearing about stuff like real world, like, what's the best way to phrase this? Of harassment in just, I guess, a subtle way. You know, because it's not like, it's not assault. It's not assault, but it is like demeaning, and it is, it's just sad. And that's his first time really like hearing about anything like it. And I think that him maybe hearing about it in a Marvel series is really gonna maybe stick with him more, I guess, just because it's a part of this universe that we both love so much. So I really appreciate that this show did that. And it's them addressing a very real world issue. Is not woke. It's not some sort of feminist agenda. It's telling a story as it's presented. It's telling a story as it, in a world, because, you know, Stan Lee always said, the Marvel universe is the universe outside your window. Real world issues that impact our own world, those are the same issues. Those are the same inherent societal problems that exist within the MCU. And if nothing else, I appreciate and I love that Phase 4 has sort of brought some of this stuff to light. I really love that they brought some of this stuff to light. So, I thought that scene was really fantastic. I thought that scene was well written, and I love that, like, it was written and directed, you know, by two women, you know, because there's a perspective there. And I think, like, you know, there's just this one little moment in the last scene of the episode where Jen's friend Nikki, like, Titania bursts in through the wall, and Nikki's like, you have to transform, go, and she's like, all right, fine, wait, but let me take your shoes first, like, something like that. Like, I never would have thought of that. I never thought of that because when we've seen Banner transform into Hulk in the MCU, it's been with a guy that's just like regular, like, I guess, flat heel shoes on. Not sure if that's really the correct term for men's shoes, but whatever. Or, you know, he's been barefoot. So I think just a little subtle moment like that, I really did appreciate. I appreciated that so much. So yeah, let's just move on from that and talk about really just the fun stuff in this episode. Because, man, this episode was a lot of fun. It's not as funny as I was expecting it to be. There were a lot of really solid jokes, I thought, in this episode. A lot of solid jokes. But I was expecting, like, you know, maybe something like The Office or Parks and Rec, where there's a really, really good joke every two and a half, 3 minutes. Where that really, I don't feel, was the case as much in this episode. All right, so my favorite ones? I have so many notes. I absolutely, like, adored the back and forth banter that we got to see between Jen and Bruce. I thought that was hilarious. I love their relationship so much. It it reminded me a lot of the relationship that I had with my sister, because in my family, like, it's kind of strange, because there are, like, sets of cousins, like, and siblings born, like, every 10 years, right? So, like, my mom's youngest cousins are 10 years older than myself and my siblings. But we are 10 years older than our, like, first cousins. So there's sort of this, like, 10-year, like, age gap. So there's not really, like, I don't have a relationship like that with any of my cousins. So, but it reminded me a lot of the relationship that I have with my sister that we saw between Bruce and Jen. So love seeing that a whole lot. I think my favorite joke in the episode was probably during the first, yoga set session, where Jen just goes, "Let your thoughts drift away, relax your neck, bend your knees if that's comfortable, hold in your farts. Namaste all day." Like, I thought that was hilarious. That was hilarious. A lot of the jokes in the trailer that Bruce delivered, like, with the air horn, and in his delivery on lines like, "For comedy, absolutely. Who's your best friend?" Spandex. Spandex is your best friend. "We can drink so, so much and not get drunk." I thought Mark Ruffalo's delivery on those lines was hilarious. I thought that was really great. That was one of my favorite parts of the episode. Was, and that's the stuff that I want to see from all these different guest stars. Like, that's what I want to see from Wong. That's what I want to see from Abomination. That's what I want to see from Matt Murdock. So, yeah, just stuff like that. And speaking of Bruce, kind of jumping all over here, and I'm going to do that on purpose. Oh, another great line was when they were talking about Bing Bong. I thought that was hilarious. Love that so much. Pixar exists in the MCU. More Disney synergy. They referenced Star Wars a ton in the MCU. There was a Mulan reference in Ms. Marvel. And Pixar was referenced in the show. So the two questions, of course, I go into a lot of these shows not knowing a ton about the characters. So, and sometimes Kevin Feige and the MCU, they'll change some characters' origins. They change some characters' origins for between the comics and the MCU. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens occasionally. So I was kind of wondering, like, are they going to keep the blood transfusion between Bruce and Jen, and what's going to be the real cause of that? Like, because I didn't think it would be, like, a medical, like, procedure, because, I mean, transferring Bruce's blood into Jen is so, so dangerous, because she could either die or become a Hulk. And, transferring Jen's blood into Bruce wouldn't really do anything. So I really like the way they did that. I love the way they did that. And even in the first 2 minutes, we got that. We knew, like, Bruce built a device that would let him maintain his human form, and he was able to use the analysis of Jen's blood to heal his arm. So Hulk is no longer out of commission in the MCU. Like, he can fight now and stuff, which I think is really good to see. So just that little thing there. I mean, so I'd love to see Bruce come back into play, maybe in the series, because I don't know if we're going to see Bruce come back in the show. I hope that we do. But if he's not, it's fine. Now I want to know, like, what was up with the Sakaaran ship. I want to know what was up with that. Like, does that have anything to do with the Ten Rings and Shang-Chi, does that have anything to do with, oh, you know what? Maybe that could support my theory. Like, the Sakaaran ship, somewhere on Sakaar, they picked up that signal. Grandmaster wants to talk to Hulk about it. Like, hey, this is coming from Earth. Like, maybe you should do something about it, right? Like, but we actually also have not seen the Grandmaster since Thor Ragnarok. So, I don't know. But he did shoot scenes for Thor Love and Thunder that were cut. So, with the, so then he'd maybe go and talk to Jen about it. He'd maybe go and try and find Shang-Chi, and then we could get Shang-Chi in the show. I really want Simu Liu to be in the show. I really love that movie, and I really want to see him come back in the series, or any series, but I feel like this one makes a lot of sense. I think that, because, like, he also has a background in comedy series. He has a background in, with, the Kim's Convenience show. You know, that's a sitcom that ran for, I think, 5 seasons? So, having him pop in here, I feel like it would be really great for the character. I think the MCU right now is missing, like, a leader who's leading the MCU into the future. And I think Shang-Chi would have been a great candidate for that, but we're almost done with Phase 4. He's only been in one movie. So, really hoping he comes back in this show. But let's talk about what was in the show. What was in the series? I can't believe that we were robbed of seeing the science bros, Bruce and Tony, hang out at this, like, little hideout in Mexico. I can't believe that we were robbed of that. And the other thing, I was never really, like, it's not like I disliked the Hulk. I just never really cared about him. I never really found the character to be all that compelling until this episode. This episode made me care about an OG Avenger. And it did the same thing. It's doing the same thing for Hulk that Hawkeye did for Clint. And while I didn't love the Hawkeye series, one of the things that I thought was really great about that show was, you know, depicting, you know, this, I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, this old jaded Avenger who's been there since the beginning. And he's gone through so much. And he's just a man. He's just a person. You know? And having, and I think that Hawkeye did a great job of doing that for Clint Barton. I think that She-Hulk did a great job of doing that for Bruce Banner. And I hope we see more of Bruce, but this is a She-Hulk show, right? She-Hulk is the main character of this show. It's not Bruce Banner. It's not Wong. It's not Abomination. It's not Daredevil. It is She-Hulk. And man, I also just miss the Science Bros hanging out. Like, I didn't realize how much I missed the Science Bros just building stuff like Ultron, you know, just those scenes in the lab that we got in the first two Avengers movies. I thought, you know, I love scenes like that. And I'd love to see like a one shot of Tony and Bruce just hanging out at this hideout. Like, you could get Robert Downey Jr. come back for like 2 days to shoot that, and it wouldn't be terribly expensive. You know, you can do stuff like that. So, the last 10 minutes of the episode I thought were fantastic. Just, and I was okay. I also really loved how, you know, I was kind of worried, like, are we just going to see, like, you know, while I don't have a problem with genders with basically just like gender swapped characters in theory. Like I love that, you know, we have characters like Kate Bishop and Jennifer Walters. But if the only thing you're gonna do with them is just basically retell the same story but with a different gender, that is not good writing. And that was a big problem I had with the first episode of What If, is that it didn't do anything really interesting with the premise of what if, you know, Peggy Carter got the super serum. Like, it was basically just a half-hour version of Captain America the First Avenger, but it's a woman this time. Like, so stuff like that, I'm not gonna love, because that's just the same story. Like, for me, it just comes down to story. It just comes down to story. Like, put everything else aside. This show can have a budget of $5. But if the writing is fantastic, then the writing is fantastic. It would be nice to have a big budget. And this show, you could see there's a lot of... There were a couple dollars thrown at this show. They threw a few bucks at it. But I think that this show is going to be a lot more than just... This is Hulk, but it's a girl Hulk. Like, I think it's going to be more than that, and I'm really happy about it. Like, she's already on, like, a different path than Bruce Banner. And honestly, I kind of hope this show ends with her not really being a superhero. I think that the whole, like, lawyer with superpowers thing can come in handy. You know, and I think there are a lot of really great, like, ethical questions and debates that you can have about something like that, that this show, I hope it brings that. I really hope it brings that. Like, I think this truly does have the potential, and the boss points out on Twitter today, you know, because I tweet out, this has the potential to be my favorite MCU show, and the boss goes, you say that all of them, and I go, oh, I guess I do. But this more than any other, because this has 9 episodes. I don't care if your episode is 35 minutes long if you have 9 of them. You know, if it's a 6-episode series, you have a 35-minute episode. I don't love that. But 9 episodes? And what was this one? This was 37 minutes? That's perfect. It's totally fine. So... loved all of that. Oh, and also the post-credits scene. I'll talk about that in a second. But I loved the fight between Bruce and Jen. Thought that was really good. Like, I know that a lot of man babies were upset about, this show is going to emasculate the Hulk. After I've seen a trailer, this show is going to emasculate the Hulk. I mean... Bruce launched that boulder into space. And, like, if you're going to complain about the flexibility thing, like, look at the size of the Hulk. He can't do that. And look then at the size of Jennifer Walters. Look at the size of her when she's She-Hulk. Like, that's not out of the question. You know? Like, that makes sense. And women are also just... already more flexible than men. So, I mean, look, I don't have a problem with it. Just, if it's a well-written character and a well-written show, it's not really gonna be all that much of a problem. Like, I mean, I remember, and I may have just not seen any of it, but I don't really remember any complaints about Shang-Chi being woke. Shang-Chi is woke. I'm done with Marvel. Like, I don't remember any real complaints about that after the movie came out. Because it was just a well-written movie. And, you know, you have to address, like with The Falcon and Soldier, you have to address police brutality. A show like this, you have to address sexism in the workplace. A a show like Ms. Marvel, you have to address the surveillance of the Muslim people following the events of 9/11, you know, and how, you know, that was 21 years ago. It's still a tragedy, but I mean, people in mosques are still being watched by the government, you know? So you have to address stuff like that, but I mean, just well written with that stuff in there, I think is infinitely more effective than just having that stuff in there and giving the man baby something to complain about, you know? And I think this was a wonderfully written first episode. I think, the Falcon and Soldier did it really, really well. I still think that scene, in episode 5 of Falcon and Winter Soldier, where it's just Sam talking to, Isaiah Bradley, and they didn't do a flashback to it. There was no flashback. They just let him tell that story, and man, that was perfect. I still think that's the most impactful scene in the entire MCU. I think a scene like that is so powerful. I love it. Just the way that it was acted, the way it was written, was magnificent. So, just, people are already review bombing the show before it comes out. Like, don't leave your opinion of whether or not to watch something. Don't leave that opinion to IMDb. Look at Rotten Tomatoes. Look at Rotten Tomatoes. Because that, you know, actual critics, you know? And another thing I've always said, like, if you have genuine criticisms, that's totally fine. You know, a genuine criticism is why I have things like this podcast. You know, because I love to just talk about these things. I love to give my opinions of it on it. But then if you have, but if your only criticism is just because the main character is black or the main character is a woman, that's not a valid criticism. It's not a valid criticism. So I'm just going to move on from it, talk more about stuff I love about this episode. So, yeah. And I'm going to bring up stuff like that when the episode brings up stuff like that. Right? Like, if we go through an entire episode and we don't hear her talk about real world issues, then I won't talk about the real world issues. You know? Because it's stuff that's in the show. I'm going to give my opinion on it. Okay. All right. Love the fight. Love the fight between Jen and Bruce. I loved that whole training montage. I laughed a lot. I was cracking up when she's like after they like do their really long jump and she lands and she's like, Grunge, she's going, men, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was hilarious. That was so funny. That was so funny. So let's talk about the big thing in this episode. Big thing in this episode that I think changes the MCU forever. Steve Rogers didn't die a virgin. And that post-credit scene, I loved. And we know there's a post-credit scene in every episode. I think that the post-credit scene in most episodes is probably going to be a little gag and a little joke. You know, I think we get one or, like, I think the finale, that'll probably have, like, a serious post-credit scene. You know, where it's actually, like, teasing the future. But something like this, it reminded me a lot of Peacemaker, which is a show I absolutely loved. It reminded me a lot of Peacemaker, which is, like, every episode, there's a credit scene just like It's a hilarious deleted scene from the episode you just watched. So I love stuff like that. But I loved it when Bruce just goes, Steve Rogers is not a virgin. He lost his virginity to a girl in 1943 on the USO tour. And then Jen just, like, was pretty much drunk the whole time. She just, like, quits the act and she goes, Captain America, fuck. They cut it. Like, I thought they were going to do it. I thought we were about to hear the first, like, F-bomb in the MCU. Was in that, but then I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is TV-14. You can't do that in a TV-14 episode. But, man, I thought that was hilarious. The whole thing was hilarious. And I thought the ending scene, the last line episode where she takes out Titania, changes back into Jen, and she goes, I'm ready to give my closing argument now. Like, that was awesome. That was awesome. I loved that. Just really very well ended. And, you know, when Titania goes, who are you? For a second, I was expecting her to say, I'm She-Hulk. I think She-Hulk is going to be like a name because, you know, Banner talked about, I'm Smart Hulk. The internet came up with it. I can't get rid of it. So he just adopted the name Smart Hulk. I think someone said the phrase She-Hulk in the trailer. I think we've heard someone refer to her as She-Hulk in the trailer. So it's probably just going to be something that, like, the internet is giving, they're just going to give her that name of She-Hulk. So I really love that. I just thought that was great. The ending was fantastic. The credits graphics. Here are some things we saw. There was a SHIELD logo on Jen's desk. There's a picture going around of Ming-Na Wen with Tatiana Maslany. If you guys don't know Ming-Na Wen, well, right now she's in the Star Wars shows on Disney+, playing the character Fennec Shand. She's been in The Mandalorian, she's been in the Book of Boba Fett, and she was in The Bad Batch. So she's very much in the Star Wars universe. But for 7 years, she was on this wonderful little show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The internet thinks I hate Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I don't consider it canon. That's not true. I adore Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I love that show. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't consider it canon, though. But there's a picture going around of the two of them together. I'm not sure if that's from She-Hulk or if that's from some other thing or if they just met up at a convention. But I'm going to say that the door is open now. The door is open for us to maybe see Agent May. You know, I don't think anyone's off the table. I mean, the one person I really wanted the show, you guys know, is Shang-Chi. I really want Shang-Chi in the show. But I think there's a possibility of more character in the Incredible Hulk coming in. Like, maybe you see Betty Ross pop up. Because she fell face of the MCU after Incredible Hulk, which I think is an underrated movie. It's not top 10 MCU. What's the rank? We're just going to take a little jump over to my Letterboxd here for a second. Where do I have Incredible Hulk ranked? In my MCU rankings, which includes all the movies and the 7 live-action Disney+ shows. I still have in, like, 5th to last place. There's, what, like, 30... Yeah, it's still in the 31st place out of 35. It's still in that spot for me. But, you know, I still think it's an underrated movie. Underrated little movie. So yeah, go watch Incredible Hulk again. Go watch the movie again. You're seeing Blonsky come back, so watch it because that character is returning. So, yeah, I think we could see Betty Ross happen, but that's a long shot. That's a long shot. I don't know if we'll see her in it. I think we could see, like, honestly, I don't think anyone's off the table except for Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man is really the only character who's actually off the table. I also think any X-Men are off the table. I don't think they're going to introduce any real X-Men in this series. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. But, you know, 8 episodes left, guys. I really enjoyed this first episode. Thought it was wonderful. Yeah, guys, just go watch She-Hulk again. If you haven't seen it. I've watched it twice already. I'm going to watch it again tonight with the rest of my family. Yeah, this one, if this show, like, I think a lot of the Disney Plus shows have started off really, really well and then kind of tapered off a bit at the end. I hope this one really, I hope this doesn't. I hope this one is able to stick a landing, get a second season. I think a season 2 for this could be really fun. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Another Marvel Podcast. We're going to be back next week with She-Hulk episode 2, the episode 2 after show, which really hyped for, guys. These next 3 months are just filled with wonderful geeky TV because we have this going right now. It's going to go into like mid-October. We're getting House of the Dragon starting this Sunday, which I really can't wait for that show. We're about to get The Lord of the Rings coming out and then Andor coming out. So many great, hopefully really great geeky TV shows. It's how many episodes? We have 9 episodes for this. 10 for House of the Dragon, that's 19. You have 8 in Lord of the Rings, that's 27. And then 12 in Andor, that's 39. So, one episode in, 38 episodes left of these 4 shows that are coming out at the same time. One down, 38 to go. The first one's a winner. First one's a winner. The show was wonderful. So thank you guys so much for listening. Go follow us on Twitter at AnotherMarvelP1. We'll be back next time. Latest, gators.